You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and like that dude just said, we cover down on it, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's 4 o'clock on Wednesday, on the hump day. It's 4 o'clock on Wednesday, which means we go to one of my favorite moments of the week, and we call it the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren, both of whom have been doing radio longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions and just find out what the conservative narratives may be. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we love each other when it's done. So let me just go ahead and call the roll. So is Dale Jackson from 92.5 FM, 770 AM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and also writes for Yellowhammer News, is you here? You sound a little bit strained there, brother.
It's rough. My first question was going to be, am I dying?
Do you have the seasonal crud, or what are you doing there?
I don't know what it is. I feel like 100% except for my throat and voice, which is kind of important for my job.
I'm about to say, you kind of make a living that way. But all right, well, we're glad you're here. All right, let me call the roll on the other side of the aisle. Do I have Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, where he hosts the Jeff Poor Show, and also as the executive editor of 1819 News. Is you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, brother. And your voice, by the way, sounds smooth and sexy. Just saying.
Liar.
All right, I pronounce a quorum. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right, I'm going to let Dale rest his voice for a minute. Jeff, you go first.
Are we going to war with Russia?
Oh, God. That was a wow. I tell you what, I'll come right out the gate and say, first of all, do we have a foreign policy or a military strategy of any type that we can put our hands on? And I think the answer is no with the Biden administration. But this drone situation is a clear indication that either Russia is becoming more rogue or they're becoming a little stupider by the day, both of which are possible. I don't think this is going to be a cataclysmic event that brings us to a war footing. But it increases tensions. It's one of those things like when World War I started, it simply started with a single incident that sparked a flame. So we got to watch the stupid. And so I don't think we're there yet, but it just heightens the instability of the Biden administration's position over there. That's my thoughts right now. Dale?
That's a trick question. It's, are we going to war with Russia and China? And the answer is maybe. Because it really seems like we are just ratcheting this up. You've got Sean Hannity and Lindsey Graham yesterday basically saying, we should have shot down two of theirs in response, maybe 10. And as you said about it snowballing out of control. I mean, look what happened when Ron DeSantis came out and said, this is not vital to American national security. Everyone came after him. The media with their Ukraine lapel pins. You also had lots of Republicans like Marco Rubio coming after him, and you got the left coming after him as well. I mean, the establishment seems like they want this. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
All right. While Dale goes and gargles with salt water, Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
Who wants this? I mean, I don't think the Russians want a war with the West. I think they just want Ukraine. And who in the United States, while it's kind of fun to virtue signal and rock the blue and yellow wherever you can, who really wants this? So I'm skeptical of this, but it looks like we're going to like wind up accidentally in war with Russia or something like that. And I like you said, Senator, it's not clear to me like what the policy objectives would be for either side.
There's not one. There's not one right now. Russia miscalculated, thinking that everybody would sit still and let them do what they do because they're Russia, and then they've done it very badly. So the world is now looking at it going, oh, wait, they're vulnerable. But at the same time, we don't want to be their boots on the ground. But as soon as they launch a tactical nuke or they invade one of the small Baltic states, which happens to be in NATO, by the way, it's going to be a game changer. And these incidents like we had yesterday They're the kind that can flare up quickly, although I don't think this one is going to be. Now, if we find out that Russia gets in there and steals that MQ-9 Reaper drone and tries to, decipher its technology, it could be a game changer then, too. All right, I'm going to take the next question. Down yonder in Montgomery, the spending bill just flamed its way through the House. Like, the governor said, House, I want this, and you can't do anything but this. And the House just said, yes, ma'am, three bags full. And they sent that thing through in record time. It's going to the Senate. I'm hearing there are members of the Senate that want to slow it down because there was one other bill that Senator Gudger was trying to propose, and he had been told he was going to be allowed to bring this thing into the special session. It's a good bill. It allows you to visit people in the hospital during a pandemic. I'll talk about it more later. But let me ask you this. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing? Is the Senate going to slow this process down? Dale, what do you think?
I think they're going to try. Maybe just for symbolic reasons, they'll slow it down just a bit. Or maybe they'll just say, look, we're not going to be able to stop this thing because it's going to come out in some form. Maybe we just fight this out in the general session.
All right. Jeff, what do you think? You've been down there, Montgomery. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's going straight through the Senate. They got that out of committee today. There wasn't hardly any. They added one Elliott Amendment. I think it goes through the Senate pretty easily. Goes back to the House of the Elliott Amendment, and it's lost. A little disappointing, polls. I am shocked how easily this legislature just cedes its any power it has to the governor.
I don't get it. In fact, I even kind of wondered with the new class of freshmen, with the new Speaker of the House, I thought, okay, maybe they're going to be a little less in the pocket of the governor. But this does now they did, and like they stood up in the special session and they brought in that COVID bill that the governor didn't want, and they did it on their own, and I was so proud. But right now, it just feels like they are a piece of the executive branch writing the checks as opposed to being the separate and co-equal branch of government. And it bugs crap out of me.
Yeah, it feels worse now. It feels worse than it was under McCutcheon. You thought this was going to be a brand new day. And this bill says it all. I mean, 102-3, the Democrats even went along. So I you look at it, and everybody's like, well, the fix is in. There's some kind of deal-making going on behind the scenes. Maybe, but I don't think you get to 102-3 with even deal making. I just think there's a general fear within that chamber, within both chambers. You know, we don't need to get on the governor's bad side, y'all.
Yeah, but what is there to be scared of? She's technically a lame duck. She's not an active engager of the processes. And if they're saying that they're not going to get a road project for the next couple of years, go hold a freaking press conference and announce to the world what you're telling the governor. But they're not doing that.
It's a delicate process, right? I think the governor somehow wooed leadership. And it's not so much if you're a rank and file member of either chamber that you're, and I think less so in the Senate, but more so in the House, you're terrified of getting on the bad side of leadership who's kind of in the pocket of the governor. Because this is all it is. You show up and you will vote this way or you will regret it, says leadership.
Well, at the very least, we had some that voted no. I had Ernie Yarbrough on the show a few minutes ago, and he echoed the sentiments of Ben Harrison from your article, from an article I saw about the speed of this. All right, we got about 2.5-3 minutes left. Dale Jackson, what's your question for us?
Well, first I want to point out that Jeff makes Kay Ivey sound like the president from House of Cards. Like, a whole bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes. That she sounds awesome. That actually sounds like a pretty good Netflix movie I would watch with Kay Ivey in the House of Cards role. My question is a short one for you. NCAA basketball tournament starts. We got Alabama and Auburn in the same place at the same time. Could they be heading for a collision? And how beautiful would it be for Auburn to get in there and knock Alabama out of the whole thing? Would that solve their little brother problem for a couple of years?
Well, it would certainly soothe my emotions. But by the way, I will right now openly invite both of you. If you go to the rightsideradio.org website, we've got a ruffian bracket going. You can click on the tab at the top of the page, and the two of y'all can join our March Madness bracket. We've got over 100 people, I think, already in there. So get it done by noon tomorrow and join our bracket and see what you win. But You know, I don't know. I mean, I love the idea that Auburn and Alabama are both in there. I think that's, first of all, that's cool. It's also just, once again, look at the SEC, man. If you want to play NCAA sports, what other conference is there? Everybody else is an also-ran. Jeff?
The only way Auburn and Alabama could play is in the championship game just because they're playing in the same arena. They're not playing in the same region. So that's the only way it can happen. Alabama can make it. Auburn's not make it to the championship game, guys.
Oh, wait a second. Well, I thought they were in the same bracket.
Come
my bad. I messed it up. Sorry, my bad.
They're not.
Are they not?
My bad.
No.
They're not in the same bracket. Boomer just –
They hold these multiple regionals in the same Coliseum sometimes, but it doesn't mean they're in the same bracket.
Well, daggum. All right, even still, Jeff's I love the fact guy. That both of them are
I
mean, in
I
there.
Hate to ruin it, but Alabama's the number one seed in the South and Auburn's in the Midwest, and the only way they could get there is if they play a championship game.
Join our bracket. Right. Apparently you know things. Maybe you'll win a Right Side Ruffian T-shirt. All right, we're going to a break right now. Let's do the break, Boomer. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. We just finished round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from 1819 News and the host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, and Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN out of Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. We're here in round two of the Grand Council. We do this every Wednesday. Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN up in Huntsville, and he also writes for Yellowhammer. And Jeff Poor, he's here from the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile channel, Jeff Poor Show, and the executive editor of 1819 News. So let me jump in there, round two. Jeff Rowe, you're first. What you got?
This is the first time the three of us have spoken since the DeSantis event in Hoover last week. I read your op-ed, Senator, but let's just talk about DeSantis and what you thought and what that means for Trump or DeSantis in Alabama.
So first of all, I think DeSantis hit it out of the park. I mean, he just came out there and he didn't – you know, his speech was not one of those where he gave you the kind of the folksy story and identified with people in the audience. He just came out there and said, here's how it is, and here's what we'll do. And it was very obvious he's got a well-rounded approach to a variety of policies, not just fixated in one particular direction or overly focused on one policy. I thought that he hit the conservative mark. I also see him as still being the biggest challenger Trump could possibly face, and it's apparent because Trump's lashing out at him and trying to find all kinds of demeaning names that he's not even in the race. It's ridiculous, but I think he's the real deal, and we'll wait and see. Dale, your thoughts?
I think you're right. I think he is the guy who is giving him the run for his money, and it shows a little bit of fear. I think there's a little bit of fear of DeSantis. From Trump and from the media, and that's why they're all on the attack right now. Oddly enough, the same attacks. So it's interesting to hear Trump talking about Medicare and cutting Social Security and all that stuff when that's kind of the stuff they said against Trump. So,
and Trump's even out there espousing like the former Democrat senator or governor of California or Florida. Was it Charlie Crist, I believe? I mean, like, what the heck, man? That makes no sense. Your own question, Jeff. What were your thoughts?
I beg to differ a little here. Okay. It felt like a spring training warm-up game, that speech. Wasn't a lot of soaring rhetoric. It was kind of just a checklist of what Florida – and not that it was a bad speech, but it's not quite to presidential level yet. I think he gets there. I think he's got room for growth. Don't get me wrong. But I watched that. And I thought, well, you know, this is okay. But I don't know that it's quite to the level of what we what you need to be. I mean, only one guy can operate at such a high level the entirety of a campaign. That to me was like Barack Obama, where he just stayed up in the clouds. So there's time to get there, but I think he needs to get there. And we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, and so here's where I'm going to differ with you on that, because he's not a candidate, so he can't say, here's what I'll do. Otherwise, he's automatically a candidate. So what he had to do was say, here's what I've done, and by the way, we actually did it. And I thought that's what the difference was. He's not up there saying, if I were president, I would do these lofty things. He's actually saying, I'm the governor of one of the biggest states in the nation, and by God, here's what we did.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he needs to lay out policy objectives like that. But it needs to be shining city on the hill or whatever. It needs to be a little more aspirational. There needs to be these platitudes. It needs to have a sort of an emotional component, if that makes any sense. There was no emotional component other than I did this cool thing. I'm telling you, that's got to be a component here.
No, I agree with that. That's what you're right. And I said that in the opening part of my comments, is he didn't come out and immediately identify with the audience and resonate with their emotions. So I agree with that. All right. Running out of time, so I'll take the next question real quick. Kentucky today, the Speaker of the House in Kentucky is the lead sponsor on a major school choice bill that would fund students and not systems. And he's got 34 House sponsors with him on the bill. It looks like there's some traction in Kentucky. Is Alabama, I ask it every time we do this, is Alabama going to do anything meaningful on school choice? What are y'all hearing? Jeff.
I don't think so. I think they've already decided they're just going to do charter schools. And we're learning a lot from the special session, guys. There's just not a lot of guys willing to step out of line and go against what the governor's office wants. And I think that's going to be the case with school choice.
Oh, Dale, your thoughts?
You're seeing a lot of people talking about it, so I think the fight will be a little bigger than we've seen before. Do they get it done? I don't think so, but I think it moves down the field a little bit.
You know, at some point, we're going to have to stop being the supermajority and start being actual conservative Republicans, and that's the thing. Right now, they're the supermajority. They're fat. They've got the ability to get whatever they want done, and no one can tell them that they're not doing it right because there's no one who's strong enough to get them to do it otherwise. And so sooner or later, they're going to have to realize all they've done is gotten lazy, and that's not good. Last question, about a minute. Dale, what you got?
Arthur Orr has come up with a brilliant idea out of nowhere to remove food taxes one penny at a time. Is that the answer?
That's about the only answer, because you're not going to see them strip away that much revenue overnight. But I can see them doing a phase out, and that's what they probably should do because it's a responsible way to handle it. Jeff?
The governor on board?
That's a great question.
I mean, that's all you need to know yesterday.
Here's the next question. Does the governor know they're doing it?
Probably not even aware, yeah.
Jeff's afraid of the governor. That's my takeaway from today.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we got a lame duck supermajority, and Jeff Poor is afraid of the governor. That's not good.
She's scary. I don't know why.
All right, guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for being on the Grand Council. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, where he has the Jeff Poor Show, and he is also the executive editor of 1819 News. And Dale Jackson. The illustrious Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM's Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, and he writes for Yellowhammer News. What a crew, man, what a crew. All right, we're going to come right back. You're going to want to stay tuned, because to the extent that I can, I have got a load of adventures in woke world to try and run through in 30 minutes. How can we possibly do that, Boomer? I don't know that it can happen.
It's going to be hard.
We'll see. I don't know. I may get talked into saving it to tomorrow. We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.